Back to Business York County, a comprehensive look at businesses in York County and how they are reopening after the COVID-19 pandemic. Now live from Broadcast House in downtown Rock Hill, here's Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into the WRHI studios for the fifth in our series of five programs all devoted to getting back to business here in York County. Our program series made possible by OTS Media, Comporium, York County, the City of Rock Hill, the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce, Williams & Fudge, and visit yorkcounty.gov. I always get it mixed up. Anyway, one of the instigators of all of this has been our mayor, John Geddes, who we like to get back every week to get an update as to how he sees things going. I know last night at the council meeting, you were very pleased to see the this Rock Hill United program get underway and get approved. And so now in place is a loan program for small businesses and financial help for individuals who have got their backs up against the wall as a result of this.
That's right, Manning. And just before I get started and answer your or take that cue, I do want to take a second and thank you and Chris Miller and Alan Miller for really what you're doing here to help us get our community back to business. Comporium as well, you know, the two biggest partners we have in town to get good things done is WRHI and its related sister stations and Comporium. And so for the two of you to do this and help us get the word out about great things, it sort of reminds me of, you know, the fireside chats that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had some almost 100 years ago now, yeah. 90 years ago. But, yeah, we did have a vote last night. It was approved, and the city is now in the business of trying to help us start transitioning out from where we are. As you recall, a week or so ago, we had the hospital, Piedmont, and Affinity Healthcare and North Central come in and make the case, I believe, for our community that we've crossed the threshold. You know, we're going to be okay. There's still this virus out there. We're still going to have to learn to live with it for a while longer. But the initial stage where everybody was really worried about it getting away from us, we passed that. Now it's time to get back to business, as our title says. And so last night, the city council took the steps, I believe, for us to sort of transition from where we've been to where we need to be. You know, and so with that and this loan program for small businesses in the city of Rock Hill, city business license in the Rock Hill School District boundary, up to 25 employees getting a small bridge loan to help them get through this, and then money for business owners and individuals relative to power bills, past due power bills, COVID-related, and finally for some funds coming as a pass-through from the federal government to help out our people in Rock Hill in three areas: child care, hunger, and housing-related issues. So very proud of our council last night and our city management team for putting all that together in 2 weeks' time.
Sure.
It's pretty amazing, and my hope is in about a week or so we'll have a press conference to announce a lot of business partners that are going in on this to help prop up our small business owners.
Is the application process finalized yet?
We had a draft of that. We'll probably let all that out for application the next week or two.
Okay.
As to the money that's the pass-through, that won't get here till probably July because it's from the federal government and certain processes we have to go through. But as to the money or the help with utilities and small business loans, my guess is we'll be rolling all those out probably within 2 weeks.
So what is the mood of the community as you gauge it here this last week? Are we getting, a better grip among where we are and people starting to see some light at the end of this tunnel?
Well, if traffic on the road is any indicator, I think we're back to where we were beforehand. It does seem like people are out and about. My wife and I went to Target this past weekend, and a predominant number of people had their mask on and were walking around, and we're certain lines to get to certain places. So, it is a new normal for now, but it does seem, at least the times I go out, and I routinely try to go out to grocery stores and others and just sort of look people in the eye and
sure.
get a feel. And I feel a lot more confident and comfortable with where we are now as a community than I did about a month ago.
It's interesting. Last week, two of our guests were Colby Mosier from the Pump yeah. House Restaurant and Jeff Brown from the Outback, two very large and successful enterprises in our city. And even though they have had to cut back dramatically on the number of tables and the people they're serving, people are coming.
No question. They are
coming because they want to get back to some kind of a normal lifestyle. They're willing to wait to get their food. But I thought that was all very positive.
Yeah, and it was a great show, and I enjoyed that, listening to them especially. You know, I've gained my COVID 15. I got to figure out how to get these 15 pounds off of me that I've gained from going to all these takeout places. But it is a testament, I think, to the people of our community who recognize, you know, we have to do things a little differently than we have in the past to support each other and get off the mat, dust ourselves off, and let's get back after it.
Well, Mayor, the best way for you and I to take off a few pounds is to get ourselves a season pass to Carowinds, because you can walk, and keep on walking. And we're very pleased to have with us today Jerry Helms, who I call him the godfather of Pennies for Progress, a man who's done so much for this community. It's just we need a whole hour to outline it. But, Jerry, everybody's been focused on Carowinds because Carowinds is the main tourist draw to this community. I think the figure I've heard, 60% of the tourism that comes to York County is coming right to your park.
We do our share.
This has been a new world for everybody, but particularly for y'all.
It has been a challenge, and I was telling John, I almost forgot about it, and I thought about it last, I guess on the 19th mark, my completion of 47 years since I first started working there, and I've never seen anything quite like this. But, you know, it's like every challenge. We're no different than any other group. We're working hard as a team to come up with the best plan to keep our guests safe and to make our park as enjoyable as possible in this new world that we are in.
What's so unique about Carowinds, if those who are new to our community don't understand, part of the park is in North Carolina, part of the park is in South Carolina, and therein lies an additional challenge.
You know, the challenge that we really have is in the planning. It doesn't matter if a restaurant is in North Carolina or South Carolina or a bench is in North Carolina or South Carolina. It's still the same. We have to have a plan that helps people keep their social distance. We have to have a plan to make sure that when people are on our attractions that we are fulfilling it in the manner that keeps them safe and gives them the opportunity for sanitizing in our food locations. You know, it all boils down. Everybody's 50%, and you keep your tables at a certain distance, and you control your entry. So we've got a plan. You know, we're working on it. I started working on the plan, I think we did, at the end of March. I was literally dragged out, I think, of the admin building. I was on the phone with a young lady that works for Senator Graham, and we were talking through some things, and they said, you have 5 minutes to go. And I said, why? Said, security's coming down the hall. They've been told to clear it. And I said, well, they work for me. She says, it doesn't matter. And then I went home, and I've been in my office, it seems like, from 6:30 or 7 in the morning until the same in the afternoon. We have video calls. All of Cedar Fair has worked together to build this gigantic standard. And I printed it out, and it's over an inch thick. And
looks like one of John Getta's briefs.
I hope
it's
you do better than my clients.
but it's important to do that.
Now, is there any way that you can highlight this plan? Because I know it's so thick that we wouldn't have time to get through all the detail. But I'm particularly interested in how you, with the numbers of people that the park brings in every year, is that your first move? Are you going to limit the numbers of people who come into the park?
Yeah, we're finalizing the plan, but we are looking at how the best way to get people in. You see various things that other parks have done, and I know we're considering that. And we're finalizing. You know, it's everything from taking temperatures to keeping people 6 feet apart to working through that to get up and open.
I know you're being very political, and I understand that. You can't give out all the information. But it is interesting when I've been to Carowinds and I see the numbers of people who are there, and they're all just kind of bunched together to enjoy the atmosphere. How, besides asking them to please stay a reasonable distance from each other, do you make that happen?
Well, I'm sure you've haven't been locked in here all the time, and you've gone places and you've seen markers on the ground that show 6 feet distance and signage that direct you certain ways. And I will tell you, to get out of the administration building to get here today, I went in one side and I felt like I was, what was it, Pac-Man, going back and forth trying to get out of the building, but that's what you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the same thing with the restaurants. Like I said, you know, the tables have to be 6 or 8 feet apart and so forth and so on. So, like everybody else, we're doing it. The thing about it is I'm with a great company, Cedar Fair, and they brought the brain power of the leadership of all the parks together.
Right.
And I have learned so much about dwell time and sanitation, more things than I ever thought I would need at this. But that's what you have to do.
So the Carowinds plan is basically the Cedar Fair plan for all of its parks?
Yeah, well, it'll be standardization because it really comes down. You think about it. It's social distancing. It's sanitization. It's intervals to allow people to flow accordingly and to try to make sure that you communicate with them so that they can do the responsible thing. You know, I have my mask with me.
Good.
So I'm good.
Mine's in the car and is there only if somebody tells me I have to use it. I'm not. So Universal opened on the is going to be opening on the 5th of June.
Yes.
SeaWorld on the 11th of
right.
June. Then Disney World kicks into high gear on the 11th of July with the Magic Kingdom and with the other one they have, Animal Kingdoms, thank you. And then on the 15th, they get the two other parks underway. So what is your timetable?
Well, we haven't exactly got a specific date. We have a target which I can't share.
Why?
Because we have to get the...
This is the news, Jerry. Well, that's why you're here.
All I can tell everyone is I promise. Like John said about having his COVID-15, I think I've got my COVID-10 because I'm usually walking at Carowinds and I can't wait. And hopefully it will be sooner than later. We're working through with all the agencies and stuff to make sure we're ready. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, the South Carolina standards, I had the pleasure of working with Tommy Stringfellow of the Riverbank Zoo and the folks from the museum and the aquarium and stuff to draft the standards that went to Accelerate North Carolina, Accelerate South Carolina, right, that got approved last week. And it was quite that plan, is, other than being that it had to go from a very small business to one like us, what you do is the same, you know. And it was an honor to do that. The director of SCPRT, Dwayne Parrish, did a great job leading the group, and I think we came up with a good plan. And that was, you know, that's one of the steps along the way.
So, have you got a green light from South Carolina? Have you met whatever the standard is, or approval from Accelerate SC, or whoever gives this?
Yes, sir. We're good in South Carolina, and it's based on the situation and circumstances there. So we still are working with North Carolina, and we'll get her all gussied up and finished, and then we'll move on.
You know, it's interesting in North Carolina to add a little bit of fuel to the fire, and this has nothing to do with Carowinds. You know, they're supposed to have a national convention up there, Republican National Convention, and because they are not reopened to the position that they need to be to allow 20 or 30,000 people to go into that spectrum, you know, the head of the party, which obviously is the president, is saying, I need to know by the end of this week what you're going to do, or I've got Georgia and Alabama out here, just two states that would like to have our convention come there.
It's just the way things work. And, you know, they do the testing, they do the cases, they look at trends and all of that, and you know, when, like I say, we're working to get ready, and believe me, sooner is better than later, but I understand how things are, and all I can tell you is we are in the process now at Carowinds. We talk about all these thousands of people we hire. We are doing it. We've done virtual hiring and training and interviewing, and, you know, I'm finally back in the office on a limited schedule. A lot of us, we're getting ready. And we're about, you know, we're in the process to ramp up. So the thing I would point out, we see that people need jobs, and Carowinds is a great place. You know, you can run a ride, you can work in a merchandise stand, you can do food, you can do guest services, and Lord knows we'll need plenty of lifeguards. And so that's
I would imagine that you would have more applicants this year than you've probably had in years past, with so many people out of work.
Well, we'll see. We're hiring, and we have a great HR team, and you know, we've gotten to the point now that we're about ready, I think, to put the pedal to the metal to finish up. So if folks are interested, they're there every day. You can go online at carowinds.com, or you can swing by, but it's probably easier to do it online. And we still have positions, but we are going to be working very hard in the coming weeks to really try to polish the apple and get ready.
And the training for these positions has got to be different than in years past, because you not only have to train them to do whatever their specific park job is, but also this whole business about physical distancing and hand washing and what have you.
It is amazing. It's no different. I had to, seriously, when I came back, I had to go through a course and take a test before they would let me come back to work. And, you know, why?
Did you pass?
I'm still there. So, yes, sir, I did. But, you know, that's the responsibility. It is our responsibility not only to take care of our guests, it's our responsibility to make sure that our associates are safe and, you know, that they know how to keep our guests safe. So, yes, all that training on the new world we're in is there, and we have put it into place, and it goes level after level, and I'm very proud of what our folks have done.
You know, I remember so clearly, and I've told you this before, on some of your promotions, I think of Scarewinds, the response of the community has been just unbelievable. I mean, on a Saturday night, the cars could be lined up well down I-77 trying to get into the park. So you must be, in your planning, thinking about some kind of a surge of people who are going to want to hit that park to go out and have some fun, and how you're going to handle a crowd larger than you want to have in there in order to maintain all of this physical distancing.
Well, there will be a plan. And that plan may be that it affects the number of people we can have in terms of a crowd. But we're always going to work through to do the right thing. But yeah, that's one of the challenges. You know, that's everybody has that challenge. You can't. It's not 100%. It's no different than if you go to a restaurant or somewhere. They're at 50%, and they have to work toward that.
Yeah, and I guess that's the message that we want to get clearly out to everybody, that when Carowinds finally opens up, remember that there's going to be a whole new set of rules and how they operate, and your ability to get into the park, you may have to be like the Outback Steakhouse. You may just have to wait until a certain number of people get out before you can get in.
The most important thing, though, is that we have the plan that helps people get there. We do it to where we can get as many people as safely we can handle in the park as quickly as possible, and we help guide them through their day to have as much fun as they can, because Lord knows, I was cooped up for 2 months in my house, and I almost kissed the ground there. And I tell everybody, and this is true, it's not my Carowinds, it's your Carowinds. It's everybody here. And I know people have missed it, and I cannot wait. When you've been there as long as I do, you know a lot of people. They're like family. I can't wait to see them again.
And this man just celebrated, what was it, 47th anniversary?
47 years. Yeah, started.
And met his wife there.
Yes.
You're a total Carowinds guy.
I hope so. You know, Miss Irene sometimes says I'm a little too much that, but, you know, it's okay. You know, it all worked out well.
All right. So you will obviously be putting the word out to OTS Media when you
Absolutely.
Can as to when this thing is going to get underway.
Absolutely. You know, we're like I say, you could tell everything's beginning to
roll.
To roll, so it's just a matter of time, but we have to make sure we're absolutely ready and we meet all the criteria, and we will do it. We're not going to disappoint people.
Just a couple other things. Will you publish part of your plan online so the people know what they need to know as far as...
Oh, yeah. We'll help people understand, because it will be different. There's no way we could do it the way we ran before in this world. Everybody's had to make changes. But
sure.
What we try to do, again, is with safety and courtesy, and to try to make sure that it works as efficiently as possible, because the bottom line thing is we want people to come in, feel good, and have some fun and get their park back. And that's hopefully going to be sooner than later.
And I can imagine that same theme has been echoed by your peers at the other Cedar Fair parks. They're probably all saying the same thing.
They Every day, I'm on video calls and telephone calls and all that. And I am very fortunate to work with some of the brightest people. The only thing I'd say is I've been there so long, I'm older than just about all of them. But I appreciate their energy and what they do. And they've vetted everything and every procedure. And so we'll have it buttoned up and we'll be ready to go.
Well, we appreciate everything that you, Jerry, and Pat Jones have done for Carowinds. I mean, what you all have done, what Cedar Fair has done to propel that park to the level it is now is quite a story. And you become a major theme park in the United States, which was not the case when I was here, came here 30-some years ago. And kudos to you. I mean, it's really quite something. I still don't have the courage you do to ride all those coasters, but one day maybe.
It is a wonderful place. Thank you for being here. We appreciate what you guys do for the community. And we've known each other for a long time, and it's always a pleasure to see you.
Jerry, you're a good man. Thank you for being here. I know you've had a tight schedule. Thanks for working us in, and we look forward with great interest to getting the word from Carowinds that we're ready to rock and roll.
All righty.
All right, Jerry Helms, who's the Vice President with Carowinds organization here in York County and so active in our community, done really the father of Pennies for Progress. And for those who are new to our community, like the gentleman across from me, Kirk Ike, who is the new CEO of the Upper Palmetto YMCA, every time you see a Pennies for Progress road, think of that man who just walked out of here, because he has been the godfather of Pennies for Progress since day one. And thank you. So, Kirk Ike, here you are. You and I had the pleasure of doing a Straight Talk show about a week ago, and I think my first question to you was something along the lines of, your timing to take over the Upper Palmetto YMCA certainly could have been better, don't you think?
It could have been, but, you know, I will echo his comments that we're blessed, I'm blessed, and we're excited for the future and everything that it entails.
All right, so the Upper Palmetto YMCA is 15 branches. Is that correct?
15. We're working on our 16th branch right now in Indian Land.
Yeah, the plush but not overly ostentatious Indian Land branch.
Yes, sir.
So which will be the granddaddy of them all before it's done with.
I was out there this morning, so we're hoping to have that facility grand opening towards the end of August, first of September.
So you started operations at the Y last week when you had three branches open. The Charlotte Avenue branch, the Clover School District branch, and the Baxter branch.
Yes, sir.
Those are the only three. 7 to 7, something like that?
7 to 7. The other branches opened up on Monday.
Yeah. And the key thing for me personally, since I'm a Y member, has been the use of the locker rooms to take a shower, and that doesn't happen until next Monday. Is
next
that right?
Monday, yeah. So, our plan. And everybody's going to have a different plan, and some are going to be a little bit more aggressive, some are going to be a little slower. And so we're just trying to look at, you know, what's best for us as far as opening. And, you know, a phased approach was probably the most prudent approach for us. So, you know, June 1st will be a big day for us. It'll be the rest of the pieces to our facilities, Child Watch, which is a big piece. You know, how do you social distance in a Child Watch setting with three-year-olds?
Yeah, how do you do that?
It's going to be a challenge. And so, you know, numbers with Carowinds, you guys are talking about numbers. It's going to come down to that. So for our summer camp programs, you know, historically we might have had a couple hundred kids at a site. Well, this year we're probably going to have, you know, half of that.
So what do you do with parents who've already signed up for camp? I mean,
well, the natural attrition, and this is where I'm not too concerned about capacity. You know, in 2 or 3 months, I think we'll have to, you know, gauge that then. But most people are going to self-limit based on their comfort level as far as, you know, really their personal opinions about COVID.
I see.
And so, you know, Carowinds, I would probably imagine that they will be, you know, 2/3 less than they were last year when they opened. So most people are going to self-distance, self-isolate based on, you know, how they look at COVID. And everybody has a different opinion on the virus, right?
Sure. So, like, there are going to be a bunch of moms and dads that will not want to send their kids to camp this summer.
Probably, right? Yeah. And so, you know, we're gauging, you know, our numbers based on that. And so I call it the new norm. And you know, everybody's talking about the vaccine, that once we get the vaccine, we'll be back to normal. Probably not. Mm-hmm. And that's a big if we have the vaccine, right? And so for us, we're going to do the things that, you know, CDC, DHEC, and the governor have recommended that we do. Of those pieces, we're going to try to say, all right, which ones can we effectively implement? And we're going to be, you know, I say let common sense dictate the steps and the protocol for you, because, you know, you could get really crazy with some of the restrictions to where it's almost, you know, why do you even open up?
I would imagine that whatever your plan is at the Upper Palmetto Y was something that you not only developed, but probably got a lot of input from your mothership, the yep. YMCA corporate.
Yep. So we have a really strong state alliance, and we're learning from what other YMCAs are doing. And so Georgia, the YMCAs in Georgia opened up about 2 weeks earlier. And so what was their model? You know, what did they do? So obviously signage, communication to the members, you know, if it's I call it everything we learned as a kindergartner, right? Mm. If you're sick, stay home. Wash your hands, cough in your arm. You know, the social distancing, you know, that's going to be a norm. I've even noticed it when I drive, that people at stoplights we even have more distance between cars. So I think they're doing that subconsciously. And so, you know, unfortunately, handshakes, you know, I'm a big person that just I like people and I like meeting people. And so, you know, that's going to take me a little while to get used to. But, you know, whatever we need to do to keep people safe. And you know, this time next year, I think we'll have a better idea of really how deadly the virus was, how many people had it. And, you know, did we overreact? Did we underreact? You know, this time next year, we'll have a good feel for where we're at.
So what does your plan include, if anything, in regards to protecting you, meaning the Upper Palmetto YMCA, from anybody mm-hmm. who might want to bring a lawsuit against you? Because they came in to the Y and allegedly got COVID-19.
Sure. So, you know, and I would imagine most businesses are looking at this. And I know legislators are looking at, well, how can we provide some assurances to business that they can operate and not be worried about, you know, the lawsuits that might follow. So with us, we're obviously going to have a waiver that members or program participants or parents have to sign. And that's just... you know, that's part of what our business is going to be.
So if I come to the Y next Monday, before I walk through the hallowed turnstile,
yes, sir,
I'm going to sign something that says, I hold you not responsible for anything that happens to me here.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's, you know, I would imagine we're not going to be alone when it comes to businesses do that.
Sure.
And how we get legislation to protect businesses against that liability, because, you know, I was listening to Governor Cuomo today. How do you, you know, the virus is highly, what's the right word?
Contagious.
Contagious.
Right.
Highly contagious. So can you really hold the governor responsible for the pathogen that, you know, spread? And so, you know, what we can do is say, what did we do when we had the knowledge?
Sure.
And what steps did we take to keep people safe? And so, you know, I'm under the personal opinion is really the more we can, you know, commingle and the more we can get out there, protect the folks who are at risk. And I think we've learned a lot over the past 8 to 9 to 10 weeks is that, you know, we need to do more to protect those, you know, that smaller percentage of the population that is at risk. But generally, most people are going to be okay. Fortunately for me, I have young kids. Kids, for the most part, are going to be okay. And we've talked about the Kawasaki disease, the inflammation complications of COVID with kids. That's it's pretty rare. Generally, most kids are going to be fine with this, which if you're a parent, you got to take some assurance in that. And so for the Y, it's good for us that knowing that the kids in our program, generally, they're going to be okay.
So it's fair to say that because you've been shut down for a couple of months.
Yes, sir.
That you've taken a hit on the membership, I got to think. People are people.
Yeah, and we have, and we've asked our members to consider, you know, there's a program not just with RY but around the country called Stay With Us.
Right.
And so we've asked members to, you know, continue their membership during this period, and most have, and some have elected to cancel their membership during this period or put their membership on hold.
Sure.
And so we'll know a lot more in the next couple months as far as what that, you know, impact is going to be on our organization. And then we'll make adjustments accordingly. But fortunately for me, because I'm the new guy, we have a pretty healthy association. We have really good staff. We have a strong, you know, leadership in our board. So fortunately for me, that those are all good things that give me some comfort that we're going to be able to come out of this and, you know, be a leader in the community that we were before COVID.
So I can think so clearly of times when I've been over to the Y, particularly in the, say, 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening time period, and the fitness room was just belly to belly with people in there coming out of work, doing their exercise routine. So you obviously, part of your plan is a limitation as to how many people can be inside the Y, any one of the Y buildings at any one time?
Correct. So right now our number is
20%.
20%? 20%. And fortunately, that's pretty much what it's naturally going to be right now. And then as, you know, as not just with us, but as the community can be more comfortable with what's going on with COVID. And we're learning a lot about COVID. Is, you know, it's mutating. Is it more dangerous now than it was? And so we're learning a lot about the nature of the virus.
So did you calculate the 20% based on a fire marshal's rating or based on
correct
how much per space each person had to have?
It's basically based – it's the governor's DHEX criteria, okay. 20% of your capacity. And so that's what we're going to look at. The other piece for us too is our association is big into aquatics.
Oh, yeah.
We have more water than any Y in the southeast. And it's, you know, we have 2 50-meter pools. I know of one other Y that has a 50-meter pool, and that's Orlando. And so we have two. So, you know, fortunately, you know, chlorine kills COVID.
Right.
And UV kills COVID. So, you know, the
Splish,
sun.
Splash, have fun.
Yeah, the sun kills COVID. So, you know, I think me as a parent, I would feel comfortable having my kids in any of our pools. Our outdoor water parks at CSD in the Baxter Close Y, you know, those are going to be good avenues for parents that need somewhere to go during the summer. And kids need recreation. And so the recreation's been kind of at home or in the neighborhood.
Sure.
For the past 2 months. Well, the kids need more than that.
Yeah. As the former football coach of Northwestern High School, Jimmy Wallace, has said time and time again, you got to wear them out.
Got to wear them out.
Wear these kids out.
You got to put
them busy. Wear them out.
Put them to bed tired so the parents can have a little bit of peace.
So there's actually some type of a head count. If I go to the Charlotte Avenue Y on Monday morning,
yep.
Somebody's going to click me in.
We're not going to click you, but the staff are going to be we're going to be ultra aware of what our numbers are. And we're going to manage that accordingly.
So you are prepared if there's a large crowd that pops up on whatever day of the week.
Yeah.
You may have to say to them, we just can't take you in right now.
Correct. And I like your Outback Steak analogy. Yeah. I'd love to have Outback Steak while I'm going to Carowinds. You know, that's what I was thinking. While I'm waiting to go into the park, you feed me. Maybe that's a partnership that they could work on.
Why not?
But no, so, you know, my personal feeling is like I said earlier, is most parents, if it looks, and members too, if it looks a little too crowded for your comfort level, you might come back at a different time.
Right. I had a Straight Talk guest last week who saw the crowd at Substation 2 and phoned me from the parking lot and said, I'm just not comfortable coming in there right now. I said, that's fine.
Sure.
We'll work around it. And we did.
And you know, that individual, that might be their new norm for forever.
Like, could be.
Could be. So, you know, my guess is that we start to open our economies like we're doing. And most states are moving towards that. People are going to realize that hey, it's going to be okay. You know, the fear is palpable with a lot of folks. And we just got to realize that, you know, generally we're going to be okay. People at risk need to be cautious.
So when I walk into the Y and I go into the fitness room.
Yes, sir.
I'm so familiar with the Charlotte Avenue Y because I'm there every day. You've got a battery of treadmills. Now, what have you done? You've taped them off?
So every other treadmill will be taped off. When you first come into the Y, we'll meet you outside. And, you know, we'll have a little bucket of pins that you sign the waiver, and there's a bucket with good pins and a bucket with pins that need to be clean. And so, you know, we've tried to put just some really common sense logic into what we're doing and how we're doing it without it being just, I talk a lot about decisions by committee. Some of this stuff, you got to have one person who decides what we're doing and how we're doing it. Because if you let a committee decide, you're not going to be able to operate.
So when you go over and you use the weights, I mean, you got racks of weights over there.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
Well, we're gonna monitor it. And so I would go back to most people are going to – they're going to be ultra aware. And even if you're not aware – the person who's next to you is going to be ultra aware. Right. And so, you know, there's just a natural distancing that takes place now.
Well, you've always had sanitation equipment there, always, spray bottles and towels and what have you.
Yeah.
And most members who respect that kind of stuff will wipe their stuff down when they're finished.
Yeah.
And from what our conversation was a week or so ago, you're going to have somebody watching me wipe stuff down, and then they're going to come behind me and wipe it down again.
Yeah, so we're going to have extra staff in all of our facilities that really go above and beyond. We want members to feel comfortable coming in, and we want some assurance that, you know, as best we can, keep our facilities clean and healthy.
Right.
You know, understanding that COVID is really a pathogen that you can't see and that's highly contagious.
Yep.
So those are the operating conditions, but we're gonna have extra staff. Obviously, liquid hand sanitizer is like gold right now, and people, every person's making it. It seems like, and so fortunately for us, we have legitimate commercial grade, stuff that wasn't made in somebody's backyard that we purchased.
So when you open up next week. For back to normal hours, normal programs. I want to go back to the locker rooms. You're going to be able to take a shower.
You will.
And you're going to handle showers any differently? I mean, you're going to ask people to spray them down after they've used them?
No, but we're going to go in there periodically, you know, by the hour and sanitize. Okay. You know, the lockers, we're going to ask you to space your locker three lockers away from the next person.
Sure.
So, you know, social distancing is going to be the big piece to this. You know, I wish the CDC would get consistent with their messaging. Last week they said COVID doesn't live on surfaces, and then yesterday they said it does. And I'm like, you can't do this. You can't. You got to be really sure of what you're communicating.
And what about masks? Are you going to require athletes? I mean, athletes.
We are not. And so there's a lot of debate on masks, right? It's almost become political.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
It has become political.
It has. And it's. You know, I look at the science behind wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. And so that's what guides our decision. If members want to wear masks when they come, obviously we're gonna let them do that. So it's really an individual choice when a member comes in. You know, it's going to be pretty tough if you're on a treadmill wearing a mask.
Well, I would imagine that if somebody comes in and they're hacking and coughing, you're going to ask them to go home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, you know, the other piece too, like with our child watch or our summer programs, we are going to temperature check the kids.
Sure.
And so that's not only going to help us against COVID, it's going to help us against just other illnesses that kids come down with that they can pass on to their neighbor, you know. So it's going to be, you know, all the things that we're doing aren't just going to help with COVID. It's going to help with everything else that, you know, our bodies come in contact with. So.
Well, Kirk, you got your hands full. Thank you for coming on our Back to Business specials. And I personally look forward to getting back to the Y next Monday because it's been a long time.
Well, it has, and no doubt, you know, exercise and mental health, physical health, it's good for our immunity. Yeah. And it's good, you know, if you really want to prepare your body to fight COVID, exercise and mental health is a really good way to do
it. Good for your immunity and good for the community.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Kirk, thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us today.
Yep, thanks for having us.
All right, Kirk Ike with the Upper Palmetto YMCA, the brand new CEO who has been with us for this segment of our Back to Business special. We're going to be bringing on now a couple of people, Gwen Thomas with Narrowway Productions and Beth Ellis with Southtown Wake Park. And I'm going to let those ladies get in here. There we are. And grab these microphones. We'll have one lady sit down here. All right. Beth is over there. Now we know who's who. All right. Here we go. Da-da-da-da-da. You'll never guess how I figured out she was with Narrowway. She wore the Narrowway jacket.
I did.
Yeah, all right. Well, ladies, thank you for being with us. I hope you understand what this is all about. We've been working at this for 5 weeks now, bringing in different elements of our community to learn about what they've been up against and how they're dealing with it now that we're getting loosened up and getting back to business. And we appreciate you being with us here today. Let me start with you, Gwen, with Narrowway Productions. First of all, you have been basically shut down for a period.
We have been completely shut down. Yes, right there?
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Yes, we when the order came down from the governor, we shut down immediately. So we have been no revenue.
Mm.
And this was our Easter season.
Big season for you all.
Huge. Our second largest. Christmas is our largest season. But yes, we missed our entire Easter season.
Did you get any help from the PPP program?
We did.
Good.
Tremendous blessing there.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you. All right, so here you are. I don't know at what stage you were able to say we're opening up, but are you opened up now?
We are not.
Not yet.
We are opening.
When?
June 13th.
June 13th.
However.
Uh-oh, here we go. Here comes the
big butt. Sound like everybody else. However, the first two weekends, they will be private viewings. We're going to go through all the new protocols and procedures and formatting with all the CDC regs and guidelines and so forth, and ensure that we have everything running smoothly. And then, God willing, general public, Friday, June 26th.
So, Narrowway Productions, your theater.
Yes.
Before COVID-19, would seat how many people? It was a dinner theater.
334.
334.
Yes.
And I've been up there to a couple of your productions, and they always
were
spectacular. So, in this new world, 334 will become what number?
Maximum 50%.
50% maximum.
Maximum.
Which is more than I thought you would get. That's good for you. Good for you.
We're working it out.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that you would put on more performances of the same play in order to make your numbers work so your business would be where you need it to be?
Probably not.
Probably not.
It's tremendously expensive to put on a show.
Huh. I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. So this is with losing out these past few months, especially during a very busy time, and now looking at the uncertainty in general with the entertainment and knowing that we're going to be maxed out at 50% occupancy for a while, and the cost to run the production, it's incredibly expensive with all the lighting and taking care of the animals. And, well, that it doesn't matter how many shows we have, but with the animals. But right now, we're going to keep to our normal number of shows right now. May change.
Will there still be the dinner part of the dinner theater?
Yes, sir.
Ah,
you can't have it without it.
I know that. I just wondering with all the food stuff.
Yes, and we're working. We have quite a lot of formatting things, and between the food and the theater, we have changes in things that people may not even think about as far as the choreography and where people are placed on stage in relation to the audience. We're a very interactive theater,
mm-hmm.
and as difficult as it's going to be and how important that interaction is, it's going to be at a little bit more of a distance.
So I guess what you're really banking on would be the 50% reduction being, let's say, 30%, or, so you can get a bigger crowd in there sooner rather than later.
Yes.
That's the whole idea.
Yes, it's time.
It's time.
It's time.
So tell us what your first production is going to be.
It is Anno Domini. It's the story of Stephen and the Apostles.
Uh-huh.
And when we started rehearsing, I always thought AD, as far as BC, AD,
yeah.
Stood for after death.
Right.
Well, it stands for Anno Domini.
Yep.
And this is something new that I learned, and that means the year of our Lord.
Yep. Sure does.
So we're going to be, it's just a tremendous production that we've been working on for a very long time. And the caliber is up a notch from anything we've ever done.
Very quickly, for people who are new to the community and don't know about Narrowway Productions,
yes.
Tell them, I mean, you are a major tourist attraction. The busloads
yes.
that come in here
Yes, we have the tour buses rolling in. And on a side note, that's one of the challenges, too. The tour operators are struggling.
Oh, yeah?
Big time. Yeah, I've been in touch with American Bus Association, and the tour operators are they're really hurting. In the United States and I'm sure the world. So we are really wanting the tour operators to be successful to keep bringing in those tour buses.
Sure. That's a whole other issue.
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for that insight. And, of course, you have a website where people can go get information.
Yes, narrowway.net.
Narrowway.net.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to book tickets, 803-802-2300.
Yeah, there you go. Or narrowway.net, right?
Yes.
Okay. So over here to your left and across from me is Beth Ellis. She's with Southtown Wake Park. And, Beth, I'm going to get you to pull that microphone closer to you, if you would. All right.
Here we go.
So, first of all, Beth, you need to tell everybody about Southtown Wake Park because I've heard about it. I don't live too far from it, but I haven't been out there yet to try it.
Oh, we need to get you out there. So we're fortunate to be outside.
Right.
We have two lakes. So we have a main cable that pulls five people wakeboarding or kneeboarding. So that's really no skill required for kneeboarding. And you're automatically way away from another person. So we're natural social distancing. So we have a main cable that does that, and we teach wakeboarding lessons. And then we have a smaller lake where we have kayaking. We teach wakeboarding one-on-one there, which that's been a little different because we love to hold people and help position them. So we can't really do that now. We have to just verbally stay back and instruct people. Or if it's a parent there, the parent can help their child to teach the wakeboarding. And then we also have an aqua park that is not open yet, but in the next couple of weeks we hope to have it's up. And we had a car full of people come out yesterday ready. Instead, we got them on knee boards, and they had a good time. But so we're going to be running that, you know, very limited capacity. Everything, we've brought our numbers back. First of all, going back just to thank y'all for doing this. When nothing was going on at all, I had my back to business on my calendar, and I was tuning in and looking forward to it. And my kids knew that Mom was going to be watching and listening, and I really do appreciate it because it has been great guidance. But for us, we are open, limited capacity. We ask everybody to sign up online, and if they need help, they can call southtownwakepark.com, and everything's right there. We're running 10 people at a time on the main cable.
Which is, how does that compare to normal?
So that's way less than half. We can get in, but it's two-hour time slots. So what we're doing is we're spreading everybody out over the time. So we have our annual members that'll come. But then if you're wanting another, your specific time spot, you're signing up online. And we're just kind of spreading that all the way out. We were very limited at first. And been opening up real slowly to make sure we did it right.
Now, you're a very seasonal business. I mean, you don't get operational until what, about April 1st or so?
Mid-March. We were hoping to. We have
as long as you can handle the temperature of the water, right?
Exactly. People will put on wetsuits. So that totally stopped us. But fortunately for us, you know, we really hit it in the summer. So fortunately, we're slowly going to be able to crank up. And, you know, we're been blessed with the weather and the fact that our season is, we've got to hit it and hit it hard, but hit it wisely.
So because you're outside,
yes,
and that's where COVID doesn't really live too well when you're outdoors, do you have a whole bunch of CDC guidelines that you have to follow for this?
We've been sticking to everything.
Okay.
And thankfully, I was a teacher before all of this, so I love protocol. Uh-huh. And when I hear that there's a new list coming out, you know, I'm middle of the night, and I'm looking at it.
I can't wait to see it.
But so we, I mean, this, the touch points, you know, we have usually have iPads where people can do their waivers, sure, and sign up. We're asking everybody to do that online. Or on their phone. Thank goodness for smartphones. So they're able to all their information there. We have just one group can come in. Like if you come in a car together, then you can come in our pro shop together. Otherwise, just one person at a time in our pro shop. And then we wipe down everything when they leave. We have all the lines, you know, so people don't, to encourage people, right, I'll say that, to not get too close to each other. However, you know, there's extra staff that's we've been taught. Go down. We tell our staff constantly.
Are you going to have to limit the times that people spend in the park? I mean, because before you could pretty much spend the whole day there.
Come and hang out. Well, we've requested people right now to not just come just to watch. We used to have people that would come in groups and just even watch and all everybody come with them. We've requested them not to do that. But fortunately, we have a really large lake, and people can spread out. They can bring their own chairs and stay for a while and take care of themselves.
So tell everybody where you're located. Where is the park located?
255 East Rambo Road, right near South Point High School.
Right near South Point High School, right around the corner from where I live. Anyway, and you have a website?
Yes, southtownwakepark.com.
Southtownwakepark.com.
Yes.
You'll find out all the information there.
Absolutely.
You're now operational.
We are. We have summer camps. They're starting in 2 weeks. And we have changed that. We used to have it 15 plus, even 20 kids. We've limited that to 10.
Yeah.
And they have their own equipment for the entire week.
Phew.
So we're really working hard to keep everybody safe.
Well, Gwen Thomas with Narrowway, thank you. Beth Ellis with Southtown Wake Park, thank you all for what you're doing and getting through this together, because we are getting back to business and we want both of you to be up and running and be as prosperous and as you possibly can be.
Thank you so much for being here.
All right. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to ask you all to exit the studio, and we're going to get Mr. Billy Dunlap, who is, of course, with, I'm going to get this right, visityourcounty.com. I've been all 5 weeks getting it wrong, but I wanted Billy to hear me say it right, visityourcounty.com. He's still talking out there. Come on, Billy. Yes, right, Billy. We're waiting for Billy. Yes, we're waiting for Billy. And I said it right three times. Visityourcounty.com. How about that, huh? See that?
There's always a first.
There's always a first. So, pretty interesting program today.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was very interested to hear from all of them. Jerry Helms with Carowinds and Gwen Thomas with Narrowway Productions, Beth Ellis with the Southtown Wake Park, and, of course, Kirk Ike with the Upper Palmetto YMCA. They're all getting back to business, but it is a new world, and no doubt about that. So give me some encouragement, Mr. Tourism Director, as to what you're hearing out there, particularly, you know, the hotels. I was talking about this the other day. I watched a segment on one of the Sunday news shows with the head of, Wyndham Resorts and Hotels. And he was talking about 90% of their hotels, and they franchise hotels all across the country, 90% of their hotels were still open. And they were beginning to see tiny, and I emphasize tiny, little upticks in usage. How does that translate here locally?
That's pretty much exactly what we're seeing, too. You know, our interstate hotels are getting back quicker because we're getting more traffic on the interstate. Opening the beaches up made a huge difference for us. But also, we're starting to see corporate travel's not coming back as quick as we thought it would. So our hotels that are predominantly corporate travel properties, those are coming back slower. Those are in the 20 to 30% occupancy rate right now. But our interstate hotels are, you know, some are in the 40s, some are in the 50s, some are even higher than that. So we're starting to see things get back to normal. So what's happening now is the hotels are getting to be able to bring some staff back. So that's good. But it's also working on, you know, what the new norm is as far as how they're serving food, how they're dealing with guests. but it's all pointed in the right direction now. I think that's the most important thing.
As I've said before, if you have to go through something like this pandemic, I can't imagine a much better place to go through it than where we are right here in good old York County, because we're just blessed with a lot of activity. You know, you talk about corporate travel. I was reading an article in the Charlotte Business Journal about, you know, the Charlotte Douglas Airport. My God, they've 90% of their schedule of their flights have just kind of disappeared for right now. And they're saying that those that are in the airline business are saying at least 2 years to get back to any semblance of normal for corporate flyers. I mean, my own brother-in-law, who travels the world 250 days a year, hasn't been in the air for 80 days. Mm-hmm. Very unusual. He's discovering Rock Hill in York County and liking it here. So one of the big indicators to me, besides this positive news we've had around this table, will be when we start seeing some activity at this indoor sports arena. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I can tell you that what we're hearing is that probably about 3 weeks we'll start to see some movement there. We've got our first event next weekend, but it's a fishing tournament. No better place to social distance than on a boat in
the middle of Lake Wylie.
In the middle of Lake Wylie. So we should see some events come back that third week of June. I don't know any specifics on that, but that's what I'm hearing. That's kind of the plan now. So hopefully what that'll mean is that'll get – now, will there be 150 volleyball teams? No. Could there be, 50 to 75? Possibly. So those are good numbers. I know that the city of Rock Hill is doing a fantastic job of kind of putting the guidelines together, which that's going to be important, because when people travel and they have a good experience and they see that social distancing is exercised and everything's done right, then they're going to be more apt to come back. And we know that that's what the city of Rock Hill is going to do with their facilities. They're going to do it right. But we're hoping, in a couple of weeks to get some more people back in here, because, York County's ready, Rock Hill's ready, Fort Mill's ready. All of these areas are ready to bring people back, and now's the time.
We've lost a couple of significant festivals in our community. We lost the Strawberry Festival. We lost Come See Me. They just announced, I think, earlier this week or last week that they just couldn't find a way to redo it at a different time this year. What do you think about some of the other big major activities that we usually have here that are part of our community? I'm thinking of things like Boo-ha-ha, our big Halloween festival we have downtown, and the outdoor concert series, and things that they do up at the Handspring Splose Greenway, the Christmasville, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, what we're finding is that things, we don't want to make decisions too far ahead, but we know that there's planning involved. We've heard from a couple of areas that are looking at some festivals and, kind of looking for some guidance. And we're telling them, look, everything's fluid right now. So we don't know what rules are going to change. What you don't want to get in a situation of doing is having an event, having a lot of people in a concentrated area, having someone snap a picture, and all of a sudden it's all over social media. And now you're behind the eight ball because of the number that you had at that event. So if you're going to do an event, you got to do it smart. You got to do it correctly. You got to make sure you got enough space to accommodate the people that are going to come. So I think we'll see some festivals later in the year. I doubt we'll see any this summer, but I think when we get into the fall, I think we'll see some.
Well, Billy Dunlap, thank you for all that you do with visityourcounty.com, and thank you for being part of this enterprise the last 5 weeks called Back to Business, which also was made possible by OTS Media, Comporium, the City of Rock Hill, York County, the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce, and Williams and Fudge. And collectively, we've tried to bring you the stories of different parts of our business community, what they have been up against, how they're dealing with it, and how they are reopening. And piece by piece, we've seen it start to come to life here. And we hope now that those of you who have been paying attention to what we've been telling you will realize that we are getting back to business, and you can help us get back there faster by going out to a restaurant, by going to Carowinds, by going to Narrowway, by going to the Southtown Wake Park, wherever it is, just enjoy yourself. So on behalf of all those who have helped put this series on and all of our guests, thank you for being part of this. And remember, we are back to business here in Rock Hill and York County. Have yourself a good afternoon.